All right, going to turn to John 17 this morning for starters. John 17. I should tell you that I think I didn't tell you yet that you guys responded really generously with the special offering we took up for the Williams on last Sunday. Appreciate you doing that. We took up like $1,900+. So for that, we really appreciate it, and I'm sure they are. I try not to tap into your generosity, you know, without good reason. I know you've always done that. We've managed to, you know, give generously to missionaries and so on without, you know, having to turn you upside down and shake your pockets loose of all their change and all that like some churches do. I know the economic times are tough, and just appreciate you know, still being willing to give and stuff. I'm sure that's going to be a blessing to the Williams. So let's turn to John 17. John 17, notice verse 1. John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, thank you once again here this morning for the privilege of standing to preach the Word of God. And for all of us here, the privilege of holding it in our laps, we believe fully all of Christ's work that Bible testifies of. Pray here this morning you'd give us perhaps insight into thee. And we've studied in Sunday school this morning how we are to call things to remembrance. And there are things that are easily forgotten. There are things that we have filed away in our theological encyclopedia in our head that we know, but they are easy to forget. Father, we pray you'd help us here this morning. If somebody's lost, pray to deal with them about their salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention down to verse 3, the main text here this morning. It says there, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, notice, the only true God. Well, Jesus Christ isn't very open-minded, is he? They must not have had diversity awareness classes at the high school where he went to school, and for what it's worth, I mean, they must have not had a zero tolerance policy, because he states that in verse 3 that his Father God is the only true God. Now, there are several things that are mentioned just in that brief three verses that religion has always been bereft of. Notice verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Notice, glorify thy Son also. Rather, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power. Notice glory and power. There is something that religion is bankrupt of. Glory and power. Most of you went to a church at one juncture or another that had no power in the words that it spoke in its ritual to grant you the eternal life that he's talking about here, right? So it's good to be somewhere where there's glory and power. Notice furthermore, verse 2, it says there, and to as many as thou hast given him, it's talking there about eternal life in verse 2, that he should give eternal life. There's something you didn't get in much of the religion that you were trained in as you grew up, eternal life. That is something sometimes even Christian religion is completely bankrupt of, right? Notice furthermore in verse 3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee. I mean, a personal knowledge of God, a personal knowledge of God through Jesus Christ, that is something religion does not grant. Now, along the way here, Jesus Christ talking to his Father, it plainly needs to be stated that Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ said, I and the Father are one. And while JWs are a little deceived about what that means, later on in the passage, those people tried to kill him because they said he had claimed God as his Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus Christ did indeed claim to be God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Now concentrate on verse 3, please. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, notice, the only true God. Now, some sermons dig deep and they are incisive and they cut down into your bone and flesh. The Word of God is able to divide between joint and marrow and so on and so forth. Some sermons are designed to remind us of just who we serve. It's just meant to extol God for a little while. So, you get off easy this morning. I'm not interested in digging around in your private life and embarrassing you in your heart over some secret sin or some such thing. I'm here this morning just to extol God. I noticed something this week, just reading my Bible, I hadn't really noticed too much of. One of the things this sermon does is points out the uniqueness of God. Your God, your Savior, both one, is unique. Okay? Not most unique. There's no such thing. That's a double superlative. Your God is unique. The blessed season is upon us, is it not? Folks are now going to be running around for the next month shopping and spending money. There's going to be as many false impressions of God and Christ as there are mall Santas. That's the truth. And in this season, God is going to be amalgamated and conglomerated amongst a whole bunch of other heathen, pagan ideals and so on and so forth. Your Lord is going to be Americanized. He is now commercialized in this season. He is agnosticized and he's secularized. He is all things to all men. He's an awful lot like Buddha. He's kind of like Santa. And some say he's even the same as Allah. But one thing's for sure, he blesses all mall shoppers. That's for sure. So all the good cheer and all of the goodwill, you know, basically makes your God kind of a soft, inclusive Father who would never leave anybody out. Now I want you to just look at this passage for a second. Look in verse 3 once again. And notice Jesus Christ talking about His Father, God. He says that they might know Thee, notice, the only true God. Now folks, the reason for this sermon is that a Bible believer might be just reminded and that God might hear us be extolled, extol Him as unique among all the gods of this earth, heaven and earth, right? God is unique. So, to apology to all English teachers everywhere, the title of this sermon is God's Onlyness. I know it's not a word, and Brother Vlad's about to jump out of the back thing, Bevitt. God's, not His uniqueness, His onlyness. And the reason why is it says there in verse 3, it says that God is the only true God. So that's the first thing. Talking about God's onlyness, I'd remind you that God is the only true God. Emphasis, first of all, on only. Emphasis, second of all, on true. He is the only true God. All right? There are lots of other gods. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5 says that though there be gods many and lords many, there are certainly many gods. That is true. There are many false gods. Only one God is true. And as closed-minded as it sounds, that's my God. That's the God that I know. My God is the only true God. And folks, that's a blessing. Any other God is false. Any other God is a liar. Any other God is a pretender. I'm sorry, Allah is not real. Buddha is not real. The Hindus worship 300, latest count, 328 million gods, and none of them are true gods. None of them are real. The Great Spirit of the American Indians is not real. I'm sorry, but the gods the Aztecs and the Incas worshiped, no matter what the History Channel says, those are not true gods. My God, the God of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, is the only true God. Notice in your Bibles, look in Jeremiah 10 real quick. Just something I wanted to point out back here. Jeremiah chapter 10. There are several of these, so I'm going to move fairly quickly this morning. Plus, I didn't get much sleep last night. I had some digestive issues, apparently still getting over my Thanksgiving. And so if I start babbling incoherently up here, just wave at me or something and see if you can wake me up. But Jeremiah chapter 10, and notice verse 9. Jeremiah 10, 9. Jeremiah 10, 9. Silver spread into plates is brought up from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workman and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God. Now, there's something. He's not only the true God, He's the living God, okay? We're talking about the only true God. Well, the only true God is a living God. The Bible says that all the gods of the nations are idols. My God talks. My God speaks. My God moves. How does the Queen of Heaven, Mary of the Catholic Church, how does she move around in parades? They put her on priests' shoulders and they carry her around. Look, folks, I have a God that doesn't have to be carried anywhere. I have a God that recorded words and gave me words. And those words, by the way, are authenticated by the prophecies that He gave. There is no other God on the face of this earth that does that. Guess what? Muhammad, Allah, did not truly prophesy. Nothing he said has come true. Nothing Buddha ever said has come true. I have a God that sees the past, the future. He is the only true God. He wrote a book, gave it to me, and I see things come to pass. He is the only true God. Now, He is the living God as well, verse 10. And it goes on to say, and an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble. The nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. This shall ye say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. Your God is the only true God. He is the Creator. No matter what other gods are risen up, and there be gods many, and there be lords many. I tell you what, none of them created anything. Your God is the only true God. Look in verse 12. He hath made the earth by His power. We'll visit that later. He hath established the world by His wisdom. We'll visit that later. And hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. When He uttereth His voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and He causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth wind out of His treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder, that is the founder of an idol, every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Ladies and gentlemen, 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says that you turn to God, the only true God, from idols to serve the only living and true God. Look, your God is the true God. You know, I got thinking about this. I hate going to the dentist. Once in a while, you got to go. Sometimes the gunk just builds up on your teeth so bad that somebody has to go chip it off. But how'd you like to go to the dentist for major work only to learn that your dentist was actually a plumber specializing in installing toilets? You see, if I'm going to have a God, I might as well have the true God. If I'm going to have a dentist, I want a true dentist, right? There are lots of folks that get by in this life and they do not have the true God. They are not interested in hearing about the true God. They're not interested in hearing the virtues of the true God extolled. But I am just glad to know that I have the true God. Your God is the true God. Now notice something else. Talking this morning about God's onlyness. Revelation 15. God's onlyness. These are things that only God is. Only God. Not Allah, not Buddha, not all the combinations of the 328 million Hindu gods, not Krishna, not the gods of Shinto, and so on and so forth, but Revelation chapter 15, Revelation 15. The Bible points out, as I found them, eight things that only God is, that only God does. So thus, God's onlyness. God is the only true God. Now notice Revelation 15, verse 4. And who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. Thou only art holy. For all the nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. Only Thou art holy. Now there are four things mentioned there in that verse. Fear, glory, worship, and judgments. All those things flow out of God being the only holy God. Here is where the ecumenical movement and all the multiculturalism really has come in and really truly damaged Christianity. We've come to a day, folks, there are Christians that think, I remember we were at Rush City Prison. We were in there for about a year and had been asked to come in. And they came that we basically got dismissed. We weren't dismissed for our behavior, good or bad. We were dismissed because management decided there was too much Christian programming in a prison. And to our dismay, what we were replaced with was a sweat lodge. Now, in modern Christianity today, more and more, Christians, even Christians are being taught that the sweat lodge, peyote smoking, is just about the same as going to church. We're taught that the gods of Kwanzaa and Ramadan is about the same, just as holy, just as right, just as sacred as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the Koran and the Bhagavad Gita's are sacred scriptures, just like our scriptures are holy scriptures. I want you to know that is not true. Your God is the only holy God. He is the only one that wrote. He is the only one that wrote holy scriptures. He is the only one that imparts a holy spirit. All other spirits are unholy and unclean and corrupt and polluted. You have the only holy God. We were watching something the other night. We picked up something at Costco. I forget. Journeys, famous journeys of the world or whatever. Anyway, they're taking us through India. This guy, you know, this modern traveling journalist, taking us to the Ganges, how all these folks are in this really nasty river, washing in this really skanky water. And it's a holy experience. It's a holy thing for them to burn their dead beside the holy Ganges and bathe in that nasty sewage dead fish water. Okay? I want you to know it's not true. I want you to know Allah is not holy. Allah is a falsehood. Allah is corrupt. Allah is the former moon god. I'm just telling you, you have the only true God. You have the only holy God. A Christian, because his God is holy, can know several things. Folks, because God is holy, you can know your God always does the right thing. Okay? Now, you may not like it. That may be because you're not holy, okay? But your God always does the right thing. All that God does is holy. By the way, He doeth all things well. I sat and talked to Ellen the other day. Of course, she's going through some terrible things right now, and felt the liberty to talk to her for a little while about God doing all things well. And I think it went well. She had hope in her eyes. She was bright-eyed, and I hope that she is, because, folks, whatever else is the case, I watched both mom and dad die long, painful deaths of cancer. And I've been there. I have shoved my own mother's legs back into the bed as she tried to get out of bed because She felt like she had to go to the bathroom, but it was bladder cancer, and she couldn't get up, okay? So I shoved her feet back into the bed, and she cursed me out for doing that. I want you to know, no matter what else is the case, there are things I have not experienced, there's things I have not gone through. I do want you to know that I can say that God doeth all things well. He does. You know why? Because He's a holy God. He is the only holy God. Remember that now. Next time, the church most convenient to you, the church nearest you, has a rock concert, three-ring circus, bingo night. And you opt for that instead of going somewhere where you get the Word of God. Just remember that you serve the only holy God. Okay? The only true God, the only holy God. I'm talking about God's onlyness. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, fairly quickly here this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And go down to verse 15. Talking about, obviously, at the end of verse 14, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which in His times He shall show who is the blessed and, notice, and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I want you to know your God is the only potentate. Now, the root word for the word potentate is potent. I didn't get that from Greek. I got that from English, by the way. The root word for potentate is potent. Okay, that means power. Now look, your God is the only potentate. Now I believe fully that other gods have power. I find in Egypt, those Egyptians turned their rods into snakes as well. Okay? I find that the Antichrist comes with all power, signs and lying wonders. I know the devil has power. The devil has power to give and take kingdoms. I know that's true. I know there is power in Druidism and Taoism and New Ageism and all that kind of stuff. I believe that. I truly do. But I want you to know that they all get their permission from the true potentate. All power runs through Jesus Christ. He is the only potentate. There is nobody more powerful than He. And all those false gods, I tell you what their power does. We talked this morning a little bit in Sunday school about the idea that, you know, sometimes, you know, that power is real and that folks get helped out at times in some measure by that power. I want you to know, though, that power only serves to bind and blind. Okay? We are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son by a potentate that was able to give us a new birth, make us new creatures in Christ, do away with our sins forever and ever, circumcise us with a circumcision made without hands, seal us by the Holy Spirit, seat us in heavenly places in Christ, and puts us in a place where God, where nobody can touch us but God. You know what that is? That is a potentate. The devil had to get permission from God to administer what He did to Job. I want you to know, my God, although He may not always dispense power like I would like Him to and all that, I want you to know that my God is the only potentate. If you want to get plugged into the power, it's through God. All power is given to me in heaven and earth, says Jesus Christ. Correct? He is the only potentate. Notice further, look in 1 Timothy 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, notice verse 17. 1 Timothy 1:17. And while you're turning there, go back to Romans 16 as well. 1 Timothy 1 and Romans 16. Your God is the only true God. He's the only holy God. He is the only potentate. And it's further. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The only wise God. Look in Romans 16, notice verse 27, the closing verse of the book. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Think about that for just a second, and I'll be careful. We're not supposed to bring railing accusation against principalities and powers, okay? So I will try to refrain. But you have the only wise God. That means all the other gods are fools, foolish gods. And the folks who worship them are foolish people who have foolish gods, right? I read the Koran. I find that Allah is not only not holy, He's not even wise. He's not even wise. I have read bits and pieces of the Vedas of the Eastern religions and some the Krishna stuff, a little bit here and there. I'm not going to go through and read from front to back. I've read the Koran for the most part from front to back. I'm not going to read the Bhagavad Gita from front to back. You know why? Because it's nonsense. It's just babble. It means nothing. It's a foolish God. And that foolish God is worshipped by foolish people. Now, I bring not railing accusation. I want you to know, Satan has a form of wisdom. Satan is formidable in these things. He is the God of this world. He does have power. The wisdom of this world has ruined, many, not only a man, a woman, but many a Christian as well. So I'm saying, Satan is formidable. I'll grant you that. But tell me this, how wise is he really? Here he is, Satan, and again, I'm not going to say too much. I'm not going to call him up out of the pit or anything like that. But he rebelled against his Creator, and he had seen the glory and power of God. Tell me, what was that? Was that wise? Why, folks, that was foolish, was it not? Yes, it was. And not only are the gods foolish, but there are fools who worship those gods. They worship a God that cannot speak. They worship a God that cannot write. See, once again, while there are people that say that certain gods wrote, none of their writings have come true. I have a God that wrote specifics down, and the statistics are overwhelming. It is a statistical monstrosity that your Bible prophecies would have come to pass the way they did if it was somehow by chance, by just men writing the Bible. I want you to know, I have a God that speaks. I have a God that writes. I have a God that moves. And I think it's pretty foolish to have a God that you have to go dust off once in a while on your mantle, and that you have to make sure that the cat doesn't knock over when the cat jumps up on the mantle. Okay? I'm telling you, folks, you have not only the only true God, you have the only holy God, the only potentate, the only wise God. And by proxy, He's given unto us wisdom, righteousness, and redemption through Jesus Christ, right? We are made wise in Him. Notice furthermore, look in Psalm 72. I only have three or four more here. And again, going fairly quickly this morning. Psalm 72. Don't you get tired of National Geographic and PBS jumbling your God in with all the mix of other idols and nonsense? Don't you ever get tired of just hearing how Jesus Christ was not something special and how all these facts from the Word of God can't possibly be historically true, etc., etc., etc.? I always try to find explanations. It's just so weird to me. We live in a day where we are completely kooky weirdos for believing God created, God organized, God designed, and God does. But you do know it's becoming a scientific possibility exposited by serious-minded and even serious-faced scientists that aliens seeded us here. We are complete whack brains for believing that God the designer made us and runs stuff But it's perfectly legitimate that aliens seeded life here on this planet. It's just crazy, is it not? Look in Psalm 72, and notice verse 18. Another thing that God only does, God's onlyness. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. Now there's two possible explanations for that verse, expositions for that verse. They're both very positive in my mind. First of all, I'll say this. God is the... It is God only who doeth wondrous things. And by the way, God only doeth wondrous things. Look at it and read it. It says, who only doeth wondrous things? So, first of all, if God doeth all things well, everything that He does is wondrous, even if it goes against you. On the other hand, maybe it means, and this is how I took it at first anyway, verse 18, blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only, He's the only one that doeth wondrous things. He's the only one that doeth wondrous things. Now, man, when you stop and think about man, has accomplished some pretty remarkable stuff. You start looking at medical technology and electronic and computer technology, communications. Lord, it just goes on and on and on. I mean, MRI machines and all those things. These things are remarkable things. They're now doing surgeries in ways that are well way beyond a scalpel and stitches afterwards. I mean, they're doing some remarkable stuff, right? It is remarkable that we can actually go out in space and at least travel at some distance, though we're somewhat limited by our mortality. Amen? Point in saying all that, folks, is... All the things that men do. I mean, there are some things that I think men do that are pretty cool. I mean, iPads are cool, although Dave Williams doesn't like iPads, but he's not here this morning, so it doesn't matter. Okay? It's remarkable things that men do, and yet nothing that man does is wondrous. Because only God doeth wondrous things. Right? Makes you stop to think. If eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of the sons of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, makes you wonder when you finally see a wondrous thing with your two eyes, just how good that's going to be. Because sometimes you can go somewhere to a science fair, to some cities, to some expositions or whatever, and see some things that man has done, you go, wow. Marcy and I saw the Golden Gate Bridge. No big deal, here a few years back. Okay, you look at it and go, whoa, there are longer bridges than that now, higher bridges than that now. There are some wondrous things men do, only they're not wondrous. Only God doeth wondrous things. Amen? Allah does no wondrous things. I can't think of anything that Allah's ever done. In fact, He doesn't even do okay stuff. I can't think of a single thing that Krishna ever accomplished. He never did a wondrous thing. None, I mean, you would think in a religion with 328 million gods, those gods would be able to team up and huddle and plan and get something wondrous done. I find nothing wondrous done by all 328 million Hindu gods. Altogether. Only God doeth wondrous things. Now, there's only one other place in the Word of God that wondrous things even show up. Can I show you that? Look in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And notice verse 18. And tell me where you're going to learn about the wondrous things that God does. Only God doeth wondrous things. And the only other wondrous things in the Word of God is found in Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's the Word of God you hold in your lap. Amen? Look in Mark chapter 2. Let me show you something else about God's onlyness. Mark chapter 2. Kids, don't try this in English class. Onlyness. Wind up stabbed with a pencil. Mark chapter 2. Notice verse 7. Now I know that this is the Lord's enemies saying this, because having relieved this man of his palsy, he says, verse 5, thy sins be forgiven thee. And of course the scribes are sitting there critiquing. Verse 7, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? The fact is, in that question they stated a fact. Only God does forgive sins. God's onlyness. Only God forgives sins. Of course, He sent Jesus Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh, that can forgive your sins as well, right? Now, isn't it not remarkable that all the great religions of the world, everybody on PBS and National Geographic agree that Islam is a great world religion, that Buddhism is a great world religion, that Shintoism is a great world religion. None of those religions have a system that makes any sense by which a man can be relieved of the guilt of his sins. You know why? Because their gods are idols. Because their gods are the imaginations of men's minds. They are the images imparted by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And man cannot conceive a way, and the devils cannot conceive a way of figuring out how you might have your sins truly forgiven and then be granted anything like assurance that your sins have been forgiven. You know why? Because only God forgiveth sins. The Pope forgives no sins. The quote-unquote Holy Father forgives no sins. The priests certainly do not forgive sins. Only God forgives sins. Right? We get something else here. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 10. Just two more here. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. I'm just showing you God's onlyness. Deuteronomy chapter 10. And notice verse 15. I'd never noticed this verse before. In reading down through here, of course, verse 12, and now Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, etc., etc. Verse 13, to keep the commandments of the Lord, His statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens, verse 14, is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Verse 15, only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them. He chose their seed after them. See that? Only the Lord had delight in thy fathers to love them. Nobody in the world loved the nation of the Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They still don't. Right? They're a hated nation. But God chose them. Only God had delight in them to love them. And by proxy, God commended His love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I know that you must be in Christ to be in the love of God, but God did commend His love unto us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look, folks, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, right? Okay. Satan didn't do that. You know why? Because He didn't love you. You were loved by nobody. Only the Lord loved you. Only the Lord. Satan didn't. Okay, your mom did, sure. But she's a fallen sinner too. And she could not do anything about your sins. Satan couldn't do anything about your sins. Satan hated you. He was intent upon murdering you. He was intent upon keeping you in the bondage and chains of sins forever and hearing you scream in a lake of fire forever and ever. He didn't love you. Only the Lord. The Lord only. The Lord's onlyness. Only God loved you like that. Now look, if I place God on one pedestal and all the other gods you can name that can do all these other things for me, I mean, Saint so-and-so that helps me find my sewing needles when I lose them, whatever. I put up all the accomplishments. Which God am I going to choose? I want a God that's a true God. I want a God that's a holy God. I want a God that's the only potentate, who only has genuine power. He has to ask nobody about what to do with His power. I want a God that is the only wise God. I want a God that only doeth wondrous things. I want a God that forgives sins. I want the only God that loves me. Personal enough to love me. What do I care about 328 million gods that are interested in making me a rat in the next life? Boy, there's love. Right? One last thing and I'm done, all right? Psalm 4. Only God. Only God. Psalm 4. Show you the last thing I could find that only God can do. Psalm 4, notice verse 8. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Two things, lay me down in peace, and two, sleep. For Thou, Lord, only, the Lord only, makest me dwell in safety. You know, we live in an unsafe world these days. Woke up 10 years ago with crazy people driving planes into our buildings. And a different place, different time, could have been any of us. Remember when the bridge collapsed down in 35W, I think Barb was on her way down there, or had already crossed and was coming back or some such thing. Missed it by 10 minutes, 15 minutes, okay? Any of those things can be any of us. Most of us know somebody, at least, that knows somebody that stormed Omaha Beach, okay, D-Day, or who did something else in the war somewhere, sometime, some famous thing where some horrible thing happened. Okay, folks, only the Lord grants safety. Verse 8, Lord, Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. We live in a dangerous world. And do you know what you do every night? You as a Christian lay down every night in your bed and close your eyes and sleep for the most part. And while your world is not safe, while it could be that some body is skulking outside your window, going to stick a shotgun in your window as soon as they hear you fade off into sleep. Maybe that's going to be true. I don't know. I can tell you this. You lay down on your bed at night, held in this life by a frail thread of your heart beating. And if that heart stops beating, brother, you're still safe. You dwell in Jesus Christ. Only the Lord maketh me dwell in safety. Only the Lord can deliver me eternal life as a treasure that I have in my body. And the truth is, I'm just a prisoner in this body until He releases me. Brother, only the Lord maketh me dwell in safety. You have the one God. You have the one, unique, only God that does these things, can do these things, is these things. It's a unique thing. Don't allow this world to amalgamate and pile Him and conglomerate Him and interweave Him with all these other concepts out there. Your God is a saint God. He is a sanctified God. He does not belong anywhere near the same mantle with the rest of these foolish, demonic, corrupt idols. Keep it straight in your heart. Keep it straight in your mind. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning for a good morning. We pray here this morning for just a little while as you perhaps give us some contemplation on these things. Be reminded of, and perhaps stirred, like Peter said, regarding the nature of our God. Not only that, Father, not only His nature, but what He's done for us. Father, we have privileges of having the only God that is certain things and has done only certain things for us. In all these things, Father, Satan can only present a semblance of these things, a semblance of love, a semblance of a relationship, a semblance in religion. All the other gods there are, whether it be Allah or Buddha or Confucius or the Hindu gods or any of the rest we can name, all those gods have a mere facade up, Lord. They are not real. They are it's empty behind the facade. I pray this morning, Lord, You'd make real to us Thyself. Help us to reflect on how You only are these things and You only do these things. We get a chance to know Jesus Christ and the only true God. Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed just for a couple minutes. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning about something. I hope that you'll feel free to come. With all the things going wrong and the economy in a tumult, the Middle East, the world at war, it sure is nice to have the pleasure having made a decision in your life for the right God. To not still be deceived where you sit as you once were, as it was you worshiped in falsehood, without relationship, without fellowship, without real promises, certainly with no power, and certainly with no glory. That is not the case anymore. Aren't you glad? Let's look this way and we'll turn to number 124 and stand and sing. Maybe there's nobody lost in here this morning. If there is, hope you'll come and get that settled. Otherwise, you should just be glad that you know the one true, only God. 124. Thank you. remember, we'll be doing communion tonight, so please come back, and it won't be too much longer a service than normal. Brother Jim, would you close us in prayer, please? See y'all tonight, Lord willing.